Chapter 1. 13 years later. From the offices of Brandy, Bucknell and Bendel Publishers. August 27, 1800. Dear Miss Carrington, I am writing to inquire about the prospect of receiving your new novel. As you know, we had hoped to receive the manuscript some 6 months ago. We are all most sympathetic as regards the tragic death of your father and brother a year ago. But I would be remiss not to tell you that letters begging for Miss Lucibella Della Cosa's next novel are piling up in our offices. Your title, An Angel's Form and a Devil's Heart, has proved so enticing that subscriptions already exceed sales of your last two novels added together. With deep respect and anticipating a favourable reply, I remain William Bucknell, Esquire. P.S. I am including Miss Julia Quiplet's latest novel. I believe you said that you had not yet read her work, and we are persuaded that you will find it pleasurable. September 4th, 1800. Rutherford Park. The Duke of Pindar's country estate. Mia hated to admit it, but she was trembling like one of her own heroines. She generally put her poor ladies in mortal danger, standing at the brink of icy waters, for example, pursued by a lustful landlord, knees knocking pitiably and delicate hands shaking. Her readers expected mortal danger, in capital letters. She'd happily choose a plunge over a waterfall to the humiliation that lay ahead of her. Her own, less than delicate hands were trembling, so she curled them into fists, watching as her groom announced her name. Vander's butler, or, to be exact, the Duke of Pindar's butler, glanced down at her, patently surprised that a young lady had arrived without a chaperone. Did intense humiliation count as mortal danger? No, because if it were possible to die of humiliation, she would surely be dead by now. After all, she had survived the mortifying poetry incident in VA's library all those years ago. Then she'd failed on the marriage market, only to go through an even worse humiliation, being jilted at the altar a month ago. The truth was that as an author, she was always kind to her characters. Mortal danger never included jiltings. What's more, thanks to her heroines' thin, wispy bodies, they always floated safely downstream, too light to sink. Another author she knew had caused a character to die after an eagle dropped a tortoise on his head. Murder by tortoise. Not in a Lucibella novel. Her readers knew that there would be no bloodthirsty birds, no one left at the altar. She had never forced any of her heroines to propose marriage, let alone to a duke. Gentlemen fell at her heroines' feet, not the other way around. It was a strict requirement of the genre. Lord knows, Lucibella Della Cosa disappointed her readers at her own peril. A torrent of indignant letters would pour through her publisher's door if she were to shame one of her heroines the way Mia was about to be shamed. But, at least, Mia reminded herself, she was not, in reality, falling at Vander's feet. She was in charge. In control. Before she could think better of it, she took a deep breath, handed her pelisse to the butler, and marched past him into the morning room. Mia had spent a good deal of time in the ducal country estate as a young girl, given the late Duchess's decades-long affair with her father, and she knew where she was headed. Even though the principal players in that drama, her father and Vander's mother, had passed away, it seemed nothing had changed in the manor house. Every horizontal surface was still crowded with animal figurines, evidence of the late Duchess's fascination with small creatures. She turned to the butler. Please let His Grace know that my call shall be quite brief.
I shall ascertain whether His Grace is receiving, he said, and left.